Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the second International Film Festival and Awards Macau. I'm very pleased to be joined by director Michael Pierce, presenting his film Beast here at the festival. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. Nice to meet you.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the movie and what it's about?
So it's set on Jersey, which is where I grew up, and it's about a young woman called Mole who is sort of trapped within a very hostile family situation, and she meets a man that's kind of helps, he empowers her to escape. And as their relationship blossoms, he comes under suspicion for a series of brutal murders, and she decides to defend him. And then her own sort of past is revealed, and we start to question her motives.
Before the screening last night, you mentioned that it took you quite a long time to make this film.
Yeah, I think it was about maybe 6 years or just over 6 years. And I was making a lot of sort of shorts at that time, but it was from the very initial idea. I was on a development lab called the Torino Film Lab, and I took that, I think I had like two or three sentences, and I developed that into a 30-page treatment over a year. And then I spent the next few years developing that into a script, and then I started applying for funding in the UK. And as we were applying for funding, I continued to write. And I was making short films at the time and sort of developing my contacts with a lot of the sort of funders within the UK. And then I think I was writing up until we were shooting scenes. So it had a long, genesis.
So do you think it was a good thing that you had so much time to work on it, maybe develop your ideas?
I think especially for that first film, you know, it's so significant as a step in terms of your career, but also just figuring out what you want to say. It's almost a bit counterintuitive, but sometimes it takes a bit of time to figure out what it is you want to say. And I certainly wrote drafts of the script that I then read, and they didn't fully resonate with me. There was a draft that was much more explicitly a kind of horror film, and I didn't want to make that, but I needed to write that draft. And I also wrote one that was much more of a grounded drama, and I didn't feel that it had enough of the qualities that I wanted to be in my first feature. So it was, but I needed to get those drafts out of me. And I think especially for the first film, now I feel a bit more confident about the types of stories that I want to tell. But that transition from shorts to features is so tricky, you know, and it's so important that you get as much as possible in that first film that communicates what you care about.
That's very interesting. What were the qualities that you wanted to have in the film?
Like, so I'm very drawn to having very naturalistic performances and to be predominantly films that are geared by emotion and behavior, and I need that to be as sort of grounded and complex and layered as possible. But within that, I'd like to set it in an environment that's slightly heightened from the real world. I don't mean that an audience notices that. It might just be something that they feel. And sometimes they use, it might be aspects of genre. In this case, it's like a kind of psychological thriller or psychological horror in places. But also, you know, just in terms of how we use music and the production design and cinematography, it took a while to find how to create a slightly mythical film universe. And I think when I see that combo in films of a slightly heightened universe but with very grounded performances, it really resonates with me.
Well, this is also where the setting of the film comes into play.
I grew up in Jersey and know that environment very well, and it's quite tricky in production because we could only shoot for 1 week there, so we had to be very smart about, you know, where we matched, how we matched our locations. And we did most of our interiors actually in London and the main exteriors on Jersey. And Jersey's actually a very sort of beautiful, scenic island. And so I just felt that I didn't, conventionally in a thriller like this, you would draw a lot of tension from the landscape. And so we decided to do the opposite. And we would use the landscape as a kind of juxtaposition against the crimes that are being perpetuated and the journey that the main character is going on. And I always saw Jersey as a bit of a fairy tale environment when I was growing up as a kid, because it is so idyllic. Yeah. And then I began to think of the film that, you know, as I was writing it, as a sort of fairy tale or as a fable. And then I thought, well, we don't have to make it gloomy and dark and creepy. Let's embrace the natural landscape. And maybe the way that we get tension is that we're seeing the characters as kind of wild animals existing out in the landscape. And the tension comes from, we don't know what they're going to do next or what their real motives might be. And so it just felt also somehow different from a lot of British thrillers that can be quite gloomy and dark, and we could fully embrace the sort of scenic aspect of the location.
You mean the contemporary thrillers? Or
yeah, I mean, I think sometimes Britain is quite gloomy and dark. I mean, we've got such a great history of, like, you know, of course, like very romantic and gothic literature from the 19th century and early 20th century, and that's imbued itself within our cinematic culture as well. You know, when you think of, I don't know, from the Hammer horror films to the different renditions of Jane Eyre, and with our, you know, thrillers set and crime films set within, you know, the cities, you know, in London, they're quite dark and intense. And I saw Jersey's landscape being much closer to the type of thriller that you might see in a Claude Chabrol film. You know, or it's actually quite similar to the landscapes of, you know, where Bruno Dumont sets in his films. And so they became closer references for me in terms of, like, visually how we were going to work with the location, as opposed to a lot of the British films that I can think of, which are about the sort of, you know, it could be about the darkness of the Yorkshire moors. And
the protagonist of this film is a female protagonist. And then you mentioned in one of your answers that the word empowerment, female empowerment, is an important theme of the film?
To some degree. I mean, it's about a very treacherous journey to some kind of empowerment, but it might not... It's certainly... The aim of the film and the ending was to kind of provoke complex reactions from an audience. Yeah. I really enjoy it in a film when I'm left with a kind of a bit of a puzzle to figure out. I don't mean in terms of what's happened, but why it's happened. And if those answers are provided sort of too clearly and I don't have enough to chew on, it can be a bit frustrating. So I wouldn't say it's like a normal empowerment story. And I was, when I was developing the script, I was thinking quite a lot about how we have a lot of male anti-heroes in cinema. You know, they're some of the best film characters, like Travis Bickle or Daniel Plainview or William Money, or, you know, through the Michael Corleone. But I start to struggle to think of female versions of that, and all the ones that I could think of, they'd come from literature, you know, like Elizabeth Slander from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, or Carrie, or Catherine from Wuthering Heights, or, you know, these are great characters, but they'd come from literature. So I was very drawn to try and create a sort of an anti-heroine and have a character that we identified with quite strongly at the beginning of the film, and that identification gets called into question as the film progresses.
And can you tell me a little bit about the casting?
Yeah, so it took a long time because the film's emotionally demanding for the performers, and we worked with a great casting director called Julie Harkin, and she'd cast Jesse Buckley in War and Peace, which was a big BBC TV show that was done a couple of years ago. And so she knew the caliber of actress that she was, and she just, you know, she's a, like all great casting directors, they know which the next big talent's going to be. And she brought her in a couple of times, and she made such a powerful impression on us. And we, you know, we still had to, I think it was about three times that we got her in to read for the role, and each time we made it, you know, the casting process, it got a bit longer, you know, and we'd hang out a bit more, and I got to know Jesse through that process. And it was the same with Johnny, where Julie had she'd got me a ticket to go and see him at a play called The Hangman, where he does a phenomenal. It's a really transformative performance. And I'd known him from some other film roles, and I couldn't quite see him as Pascal. But when I saw that performance, it really made sense. And luckily, when we got the two of them together, there was a lot of chemistry, and they kind of really played off each other a lot. And they're very... Yeah, they were very much comrades on my behalf when it was tough to make the film and we didn't have much time. They were so invested in the material. So it took a long time, but it was really worth it.
This is your first time in Asia.
Yeah.
So you're happy to be here?
Yes, very happy. I mean, it's my first time in Asia. I think it's the first time I've been east of Kreuzberg. So I'm really, that's just like a quite a special experience. I'm sure I'll try and see some films, but I'm really keen just to explore Macau and Hong Kong. So that's nice. And I'm curious to see how the audiences here react to the film, because obviously culturally it's quite different.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.